thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
You look at somebody and say, you've been given keys of the kingdom. Keys are meant to open things up, and keys are meant to lock things up. And then we have to understand that God has called us as the church to unlock some things that need to be unlocked, and we also need to lock some things up that need to be locked up. Amen. We need to lock some things up by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we as the church, if we'll begin to rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost, we'll see change. And when I say change, I'm not talking about a temporary change, but I'm talking about lasting change that needs to come into the earth today. Understand this. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. So understand the kingdom must... The place where it starts, before we ever see it manifested throughout the earth, it has to start within you. It starts on the inside of you. It starts in your heart. So understand this, we can never expect the culture or the society to change until, first of all, we are willing to change. And how many of you know that's what God is really after all along? He's after your heart. He's after you. He wants you, because if he has your heart, he has all of you. And so understand that the kingdom of God begins within us. Chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy and he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Now, here we see Jesus speaking to the church at Philadelphia, and he says, I have the key of David. Once again, understand that everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you, because we are joint heirs with Christ. Look at somebody, say, you're a joint heir with Jesus. What does that mean? That means that everything that Jesus has belongs to you. Everything that he owns, you own. Glory to God. My friend, you ought to rejoice in that today, to know that everything that Jesus has belongs to you. Amen. Amen. The reason you can use the name of Jesus is because it belongs to Jesus, and because it belongs to him, it belongs to you. Hallelujah. You've been given authority. Why? Because Jesus has authority. You know, you couldn't be given anything if Jesus had not already had it, didn't already possess it. So everything that we possess as believers is because Jesus already has it, and now we are joint heirs with Christ. The Bible says that you're filled with the wisdom of God. Well, why are you filled with the wisdom of God? It's because you have everything that Jesus has been given. Praise the Lord. The reason that we have healing is because Jesus doesn't have any sickness. The reason that we have prosperity is because Jesus doesn't have any poverty. You know, there's not any poverty in heaven. And that's the reason God wants to bring blessing within your life, because the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. And so understand, God desires for what is in heaven, what Jesus possesses, to actually be brought forth within our lives. And so whenever he says, I have the key of David, he wasn't saying, I've got it and you can't have it. He was saying, this is one of the keys of the kingdom. This is a key that you can begin to use in order to see doors open, in order to see doors close. Praise the Lord. Jesus speaking to Simon Peter, he said this, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say to you, you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind or whatever you lock up on earth will be bound or locked up in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth or unlock on earth will be loose or unlocked in heaven. So we see here the same principle that we have been given keys in order to loose things, in order to bind things, in order to unlock things, and in order to lock some things up. And again, I want you to know there's a lot of things that need to be locked up. I would even dare to say there's some things that need to be locked up within your family today. If there's strife and division in your home, then it's time that you get the keys of the kingdom out and start locking up that strife and division. Amen. Listen, don't allow the devil to run loose within your family and your household. Bind him in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. You've been given authority. See, don't wait till you're standing in front of a judge wanting a divorce to finally realize, well, you know what? I could have used the authority that I had been given in order to prevent this. I want everybody to hear this. If you're saved, if your spouse is saved, There is no biblical justification for divorce. Now, I know that Jesus gave a justification if for unfaithfulness, for fornication, for adultery. But understand this, even within that, there can still be healing and there can still be deliverance and there still can be freedom. Can everybody say amen? I mean, we've seen marriages marvelously turned around. But understand this, we have to realize that the devil hates marriages. He hates Christian homes, and he will do everything within his power to try to split up men and women that are both born again and spirit-filled. Hear this, that is not the plan of God, that is not the will of God, and you've got to make a decision that you're going to bind and lock up the devil of divorce, the devil of division, and not allow him to run roughshod within your family and your home. If there's rebellion going on in your home, hey, it's time to take the key of the kingdom and lock that thing up. You've been given authority to put that thing away, to lock it up, praise God, amen? And so the key of David gives us the authority and the power to unlock things that need to be unlocked and to lock things that need to be locked up. We talked already about four of the keys. We talked about the key of kingly authority. Look at somebody and say, you have authority. And the second key was the key of spiritual warfare. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The third key is the key of prophetic praise and worship. Hallelujah. How many know that your praise has power? Your praise has the power to literally lock up the devil. That's what the Bible actually says. See, that's one of the keys of the kingdom. The Bible says that with praise and worship, we can bind the principalities and the powers of the air. We can bind the kings and the nobles with chains and with fetters of iron. What does that mean? That means we can bind the devil. That's, again, it's a key of the kingdom. We talked last week about the key of repentance. Now, understand this, you need to live a lifestyle of repentance. A lifestyle that where you are willing to change, you are willing to make adjustments, you're willing to do whatever is necessary to conform to the will of God, the purpose of God, to God's way of thinking and God's way of doing things. You know, I'll tell you, you know, the world today, the way the majority of the world operates is if they can get by with something, they'll get by with it. They do not operate their lives from in a principle-based manner. In other words, see, whenever you operate your life in a principle-based manner, that means this, I do this because that's the right thing to do. I might be able to get away with going 90 miles an hour down the freeway, but I'm not gonna do it because that's not the right thing to do. Oh, y'all don't shout me now. I know I hit just about 10 or 15 of you right there. I might be able to get away with doing a halfway job, but I'm not going to do it because that's not the right thing to do. I might be able to get away with going to the toilet and getting on the Facebook for 30 minutes on my cell phone while my employer is paying me, but I'm not going to go do that because that ain't the right thing to do. Amen. I operate by a set of principles, and my principles do not change. Regardless of which way the wind of culture, regardless of which way the wind of society blows, my principle will not change. I will not deviate from the principles of the Word of God. Amen. Just because somebody gets up and gives a speech and says it's all right does not make it right, my friend. Just because somebody gets up, if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God says that's the right thing to do, then that's the right thing to do. Are y'all hearing me this morning? I want everybody to hear this. One of the things that my daddy taught me, I don't know how I got off on this, but it's good. He taught me anything worth doing is worth doing right. Would you look at somebody and say, don't do a halfway job? My mother and father, thank God for my mother and father. They said, you will never do anything halfway. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it right, and you're going to do it with everything within you. Whenever I was in school, they said, you're going to apply yourself, and you're going to do the best that you possibly can. Whenever I played football, my dad was the coach. He was tough on me. And he said, you're going to do it right. If you're going to join the football team, then you're going to stay here for the entire year, and you're going to do it for the entire course of time, and you're going to apply yourself and do the best that you can. You know, we're in a culture and society where kids, and not only kids, but adults, you know, they do something just to get enough to get by. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, it's time for us as a church to lift up a different standard. We're not just doing things halfway, just trying to get by. No, we're going to do it to the best of our ability. We're going to do what we said that we're going to do. Can somebody shout amen today? Hallelujah. I still to this day, if you want to get me upset, please don't. But do something halfway. If my kids want to get me upset, do something halfway. And they all work here in the church. You know, they work to some degree in ministry. And so, you know, that if they do something halfway, let me tell you what, they got somebody to answer to. I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm mean and tough, but listen, I'm not going to allow that type of thing to begin to creep in. And see, some of you are believing God for promotions, and you've had prophecies about promotions. Let me tell you what, promotion is going to come on the other side of you applying yourself and doing the very best job that you possibly can do by the power of the Holy Spirit enabling you. Amen. Listen, whenever God does things, He does things right. Hear this, if God's going to do things right, then you certainly ought to do things right also. That's a reflection of the Lord. Look at somebody and say, don't do anything halfway. This morning we had Jeremiah. Where you at, Jeremiah? Wave your hand, Jeremiah. Where's Jeremiah? Oh, he's kids' church. Okay. Well, that's where he's at. What really intrigued me, I was sitting down there on the, you know, we're not sitting there, standing there worshiping the Lord, and somebody pointed him out to me, and I mean, he was getting it. I don't know if anybody else saw him down here. I think by the time he got up here, he's wore out. But man, he was getting it. And the only thing I could think of, David dancing before the Lord with all his might. They're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. You know, David wasn't going, okay, this is cool. Yeah, got the Ark behind us. I'm just going to be cool. I'm going to walk very leisurely. I don't want to get a little sweaty. You know what he did? The Bible says that they offered sacrifices. Some theologians believe he offered sacrifices every six paces. And so they go six paces and offer another sacrifice, go six paces and offer another sacrifice. Now, that's what some theologians believe. Some don't believe that that's exactly what happened. But what we do know is he offered a sacrifice on the front before he actually started from the house of Obadiah until they actually got to the tent where they, the David's tabernacle, where they erected the tent and placed the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of that tent. So there's just continual worship. And the Bible says that David danced before the Lord with what? With all of his might. He wasn't just doing a little two-step. He was dancing with everything within him. He was giving to God everything that he had. You know, Lord, allow that understanding to grab hold of every person in the body of Christ. The Bible says that whatever we do it as unto the Lord. And hear this, whenever you're working on your job, you're not just working for your employer. The Bible commands us as believers to do it as unto the Lord. Ask yourself a question, would I do Jesus a halfway job? Would I do Jesus? Would I just kind of do what I had to do just to barely get by? Is that the way that I would treat Jesus if I was doing a job for him? And see, you ought to take the same approach to whatever you're doing in life. You ought to give it everything that you got. I'm not just working to make a living. I'm working to please the Lord. I want to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Now, look at somebody this morning and say, he's not talking about you. Look at the person on the other side and say, he's talking about me. Hallelujah. I'm actually talking to all of us, amen? In 2 Samuel 6, if you'll turn there, are y'all still with me? I want to talk about the last key. I've already kind of gotten into it a little bit. I got a little ahead of myself. But the last key is this. It is the key of giving and sacrifice. The key of giving and sacrifice. There's something about giving and sacrifice that opens up heaven unlike anything else. Giving and sacrifice opens up heaven unlike anything else. Giving and sacrifice opens up blessing unlike anything else. I want everybody to understand this. You will never live in the blessing of the kingdom until, first of all, you begin to use the key of giving and sacrifice. Once you begin to use the key of giving and sacrifice, my friend, hear this, your world will be changed. I'll even go so far as to say this, your house will be changed. Your bank account will be changed. The car you're driving in will be changed. The clothes you wear will be changed. The university that you send your children to will be changed. Something happens whenever you begin to insert the key of the kingdom called giving and sacrifice. We see in the Bible that David was a giver. Look at somebody say, David was a giver. This was one a part of the key of David. It is one of the keys of the kingdom. We'll see later on how that David said, I will not give to God that which costs me nothing. In other words, if it doesn't cost me something, I'm not really giving anything. We see Jesus, even with the widow that came and she gave everything that she had, and the other people out of their abundance, they gave things in the offering. He said, this little widow woman, she gave more than everybody else. Because they only gave out of their abundance. She gave everything that she had. And so we have to understand there's a principle of giving and sacrifice that we see both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now understand this, that Jesus, he himself was the sacrifice for sin. So I'm not talking about any type of sacrifice that you have to make for your sin. However, there are other things, other areas of our life where I believe the Bible specifically teaches that we are to live a lifestyle of sacrifice. And understand this, sacrifice is a temporary, understand how I say this, it is a temporary thing that you do in order to obtain a greater reward on the other side. That doesn't mean that you stop sacrificing, it just means this, I am sowing a seed for a greater harvest for my future. It may cost me something right now, but I know that there is a harvest that is coming down the road. So let's read this morning, 2 Samuel 6, verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those hearing the ark of the Lord had... ark of the Lord had gone six paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, Saul's order, the old worldly order, the old cultural order, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Listen, just a word of admonition. If you despise people within this church for dancing in the way that we danced this morning, I really believe that you need to take a close look at this passage of Scripture. So they brought the ark. Listen, you don't want to be a part of the Saul order. Michal was Saul's daughter. She was a part of the Saul order. And God ended up cutting off that order. You know why? Because they didn't have the heart of David. They didn't have the heart of God. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the men and the women, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Now, the primary purpose that I read this passage of Scripture for was not so much just about David dancing before the Lord. But what I want you to see is that David lived a life of sacrifice and a life of giving. We see that as they are bringing the Ark of the Covenant in to Jerusalem that they are offering sacrifices. Again, many theologians believe every six paces he was offering another sacrifice. So they would dance, they would offer a sacrifice, and then they would dance for another six paces, and then he would offer another sacrifice, and then they would go another six paces, and then they would offer up another sacrifice. My friend, that's a lot of sacrificing. Will you look at somebody and say, the Lord is worth it though? I want everybody to hear this. The Lord is worth anything that you may have to sacrifice. See, I recognize that on Sunday mornings for you to be here, it may require you to sacrifice some of your time. It may require you to give a little bit more, but how many of you know it's worth it on the other end? And by the way, to come back Sunday night, it may require you to sacrifice something. You may actually have to go without seeing part of the football game. I mean, God forbid. But anyway, you might have to miss a little bit of it. But how many of you know whatever sacrifice you make, it's worth the reward on the other end? Hallelujah. You may have to sacrifice something on Wednesday night. Maybe your favorite TV show. That's the reason they made DVRs, glory to God. But anyway, it may come out on a Wednesday night. Oh, listen, if we got to stay home to watch a television show, then we need to examine our hearts seriously. Are you seriously saying, I got to stay home because my favorite show, I can't miss my favorite show? Seriously? Do you know what all Jesus did for you? Do you know how he came and he bled and he died? He stretched out his hand and he became a sacrifice for all the sin of humanity. With everything that he did, you're telling me I can't miss my favorite TV show? Seriously? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but you see, our value system here in America, we value the wrong things. I understand some people, but if you can't come Wednesday nights, that's fine, no condemnation. Please understand. I know for some people, because of work schedules and things, that is very difficult. So I understand that. So I'm not getting on to anybody. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, see, what we have convenient Christianity today. We want everything convenient. God, I want you to do everything in the world for me. I want you to Cadillacs, condominiums, cruises, anything good that starts with the C, I want it. Hallelujah. I want it all. But I'm not willing to give anything. They need somebody to work in the nursery, find somebody else. They need somebody to usher, oh, find somebody else. Oh, they need somebody to help out in kids' church, find somebody else. Oh, they need somebody to be a greeter, well, you just need to find somebody else. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying today? How many of you know that whatever sacrifice that you mean, I gotta be there actually 30 minutes before the service? Yes, hallelujah. That's called doing your ministry, hallelujah. I want all the worship team to stand up for just a moment. All this, everybody on the worship team, you spouses can too, that's fine. Every one of these folks that you see standing up, the worship, this is not even all of them. You know what? They're always here. They're here. They get here 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. They get here early on Sunday night. Other ones get here early on Wednesday night. You know what? That's a sacrifice of their time that they're making. But let me tell you what, how many of you appreciate what you're able to receive because of their willingness? You know, hang on. Maybe it'd be better if we just had somebody up here with a guitar singing Kumbaya. You don't get worship the way we have it here in this church without people that are willing to give a sacrifice, give of themselves in order to make it happen. It does not happen automatically. Steve Webb, of course, he's on staff here, but he's a great trumpet player. Can y'all hear all those? He's a screamer, what we call it, a screamer. He can get up there in the stratosphere as far as the trumpet register. You don't become a good, I know because I play trumpet, and it takes hours and hours and years and et cetera, decades to be able to play a trumpet the way that he plays trumpet. You know why he's good? It's because he sacrificed something to become good at what he was doing. He is willing to give of himself. He was willing to lay down his life. But you see, we got people that aren't willing to even pick up a piece of paper on the floor of the church building that are wondering, why isn't the blessing of God flowing into my life? What are you willing to give? Praise the Lord. David understood the necessity of sacrifice. After they make the sacrifice, then what he does is he gives things to all the people that are there. He didn't just say, you know, hey, come and see the ark. But then he says, I want to do something. I want to give something to everybody. Everybody that was a part of this, we're going to give something to you. Let me tell you something. Pastor Stacy and I, we have made it our commitment for as long as I can remember. Once we got married, we made a decision whenever we didn't have anything that we were going to live a lifestyle of giving. We would take our pastor out to eat whenever we were having difficulty at times paying the bills. But I knew I need to sow a seed. I need to sacrifice something. I need to put it upon the altar so that I can make room for a greater reward that God wants to bring forth within my life. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, every seed that I've sown has come back in my life over and over and over. See, until you learn how to release what's in your hand, you will never make room for everything that God has for you. You got to make room, amen? Look at somebody and say, you got to make room. I trust everybody will still love me after this service. And I want everybody to understand this. I'm not teaching this because we're going to take an offering up at the end of the service and we need everybody to give. I want everybody to understand our church, as far as the church as a whole, we're probably in the best financial condition we've ever been in. Praise the Lord. Since we started the church, God has blessed us. The church is growing financially. There's money in the bank. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I said all that to let you know that my motivation has absolutely nothing to do with what you can do for the church. My motivation is this. I want you to take the key of giving and sacrifice and unlock some things that God wants to be released within your life. Amen? You have to be willing to use your key. You have to be willing to begin to open up the doors of blessing. Amen? Are y'all still with me? So before they started the journey, they sacrificed. And then they did it at the end. As I said, some theologians believe he sacrificed every six paces. David was willing to do what God required. Hear this. When we are willing to do what God requires, we see the keys of the kingdom operate within our lives. See, if you're not willing to do what God requires, then what happens is you end up forfeiting the key that God wants you to insert that will open up heaven's best within your life. That's the reason the Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you're willing to do what God requires, you will eat the good of the land. You don't do what you can get by with. You do what God requires. Did you see that? I'm not doing what I have to do just to get by with. No, I am doing what God requires. If I will do that, I will eat the good of the land. Amen. We see over in Romans chapter 12, it says to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That verse goes on to say, it is your spiritual act of worship, is how it's read in the NIV. And then it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want you to write this down. I want you to put it to memory, and that is this. God is more interested in you than your wallet. That's the reason that Paul said, he didn't say, present your wallet or your purse a living sacrifice. As a matter of fact, I want everybody to understand this. Your wallet isn't living. And your money in itself is not living. You are living. And that's the reason he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, God is more interested in you than your wallet. Would you say that to somebody today? God is more interested in you than your wallet. Now, why is God more interested in you than your wallet? It's very simple. Because if he has you, he will have your wallet. You know, you can always determine how much God has of somebody by what they're doing with their wallet. Y'all, please don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good right now. You can always determine how much God has of somebody by what they're doing with their money. People who do not give into the kingdom of God, who aren't faithful in their giving, then that means this: God doesn't really have their heart. Because whenever God has your heart and whenever you present all of yourself to Him, then He will automatically have your wallet. The reason I never have a problem giving, I've never had a problem giving, is because whenever I was a little boy, I gave the Lord every bit of me back then. When I was 4 years old, I said, "Jesus, I surrender all to You. Be the Lord of my life." And ever since that day, I want you to hear this, I've never had a problem giving. Why? Because God has my heart. Hear this, whenever God has you, has your heart, there won't be a stingy bone in your body. Oh, I can tell some of you having problems with this today. And I just want to encourage you to get glad in the same pants that you got mad in. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, this is a key. I saved this key for last. I saved it for last. Because hear this, you can do all the other ones, but if you're not operating with this key within your life, what's going to happen is you will shut down the blessing of God within your life. You must learn to live your life with an open hand. Everybody say open hand. You cannot live your life with a closed fist. I'm so tight, I squeak when I walk. Hear this, my friend. God didn't design you to live that way. God designed you to live open-handed. God designed you to live your life as a giver. I want to bless somebody. I want to find somewhere where I can be a blessing to somebody else. Whenever you begin to live that way, stinginess begins to leave you. I want everybody to understand this. God doesn't need your money. It's amazing how quiet churches get whenever you talk about money. I can just imagine most of the messages that Jesus preached, nobody was saying anything. Because Jesus said a whole lot about money. God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. But He said this, wherever your treasure is, there where your heart be also. Wherever your treasure is, wherever you're putting your money, that's an indicator of where your heart's at. So you have to ask yourself, am I investing in the kingdom of God? Or am I just making sure that I'm taken care of? Am I just investing in myself? Now understand this, the more you begin to invest and the more you begin to give into the kingdom, my friend, hear this, the more that it's gonna come back on you. You cannot invest in the kingdom of God without there being a reward and without there being a return. Amen? Now, by the way, investment always begins with the tithe and the offering. Somebody asked me one time, well, what should I tithe on? Should I tithe on my gross or should I tithe on my net? And I tell them, it's according to what kind of blessing do you want? Do you want a net blessing or do you want a gross blessing? I don't know about you, but I want a gross blessing. Hallelujah. I want something that just everybody goes, man, that's so much. That's just pure gross. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, just overflowing, lavishing, praise the Lord. See, whatever you are investing your dollars is where your heart dwells. If you're investing dollars in this, that, and the other, that's where your heart's at. Nobody's going to invest money in something that their heart's not in. You're always going to invest money where your heart's at. So look at somebody and say, neighbor, is your heart in the kingdom? And understand this, the kingdom of God, listen to this, it's not just the church. It's your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's being a blessing to other people around you. That's investing in the kingdom of God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying today? Listen, I want you to get a hold of this key because this key will unlock things within your life that'll blow your mind. See, I can prophesy to you, this is a year of blow your mind miracles, but you sit there tight-wadded, close-fisted, and it'll just go right over your head. And I'm telling you, take your key of giving and sacrifice and allow the blessing of the Lord to come upon you in a way that you never have seen before. Amen? I'm going to go ahead and say it. Is it all right if I say it? Can I say it? People that don't tithe are selfish. They're locked up in themselves. They don't realize, oh, hallelujah, they don't realize where their sustenance came from to start with. They put their faith in a system of man. They put their faith in the employer. They put their faith in everything else around them except God. Listen, I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. I know that He is my Jehovah Jireh, and I'm not looking to man to provide my need. So you know what? It is nothing for me to take a tithe, a 10% of everything that He blesses me with, and say, God, You have blessed me so much. I'm acknowledging that You are the source of my provision with my tithe. Well, you don't understand. I got to pay for this. I got to pay for that. You know what? You're always going to be that way. You'll always be scrapping. That's what happens. I can't afford to tithe. No, you can't afford not to. Many believers never see the fullness of the kingdom because they are not willing to sacrifice self. Self is on the throne of so many people's heart. That's called selfishness. When self is on the throne, people get tight-fisted. When self is on the throne, it's about them and nobody else. I'm not concerned about anybody else. The only person I'm concerned about is me. I want to make sure I'm taken care of, and don't anybody dare ever cross me or do something to me, because I'll get you back. That's the picture of self being on the throne. Self on the throne begins with the exaltation of our own fleshly thinking and our own opinion. We must be willing to abandon the old way of thinking and adopt kingdom thinking. Look at somebody and say, we need kingdom thinking. Understand this, kingdom thinking is contrary to the natural man. Let me give you an example. Natural man, you hit me, I hit you back. Kingdom is this, you hit me, I turn the other cheek and I pray for you. Natural thinking is, you hurt me, so I hold a grudge. Kingdom thinking says, you hurt me, I forgive, and I'll not be offended. Natural thinking is, get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. Kingdom thinking is, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shake it together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. That's kingdom thinking. Look at somebody and say, we need some kingdom thinking today. You see, natural thinking is always about self. And by the way, hear this. You were born with that kind of thinking. What do you mean I was born with natural type thinking? It's because whenever you were a little baby, immediately whenever you got hungry, what'd you do? Wah, 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 wah. And whenever you needed your diaper changed, wah, 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 wah. Right? Then whenever as you grow up and you mature, you realize I can't cry anymore whenever I need something. The world isn't just about me. See, when babies are little, you ever notice how everything just surrounds the baby? The new baby comes in the home. They are the center of attention. Right? I know we've got we have grandchildren and they're around. I'm Papa. I'm not Daddy anymore. I'm Papa. And y'all know what Papas do, right? You spoil them. You give them what they want. The parents come back, why'd you give them that? Because they wanted it. They wanted it. You gave them a whole Snickers. Yeah, well, he wanted it. While I'm watching them, I'm going to make them happy. Okay? Now you bring on the discipline, and I'll make them happy. Right? All you grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. Because I'm not the one that's supposed to be bringing the discipline in their life. That's the responsibility of mom and daddy. I just got to make sure I survive the 2 hours that I got to keep them. Right? Right? So I'm gonna make them happy. But you know, they want things all the time. And you finally, when you begin to grow up, you realize the world is not just about me. At least some people do. Many people still never get out of that whole thinking that you are not the center of the planet. You are not your own planet, and the earth is rotating around you. You are a part of the earth, and there are people all around you, and you're around other people, And so we have to learn to mutually bless one another. And as a part of a local church, we have to learn to be a blessing to our brothers, a blessing to our sisters. Reach out and touch people. I had a great message on Wednesday night about touching. You know what? Some of you probably need to get off Facebook on there a little too much and just reach over and actually touch your children. Touch your husband. Touch your wife. Put the phone down. We have to have our phone with us all the time for several different reasons, but I won't go into. But I caught myself doing that every time we'd go to a restaurant. I'm looking at this thing. I got to make sure I like everybody. Ding ding. I don't want anybody to be offended. Like. Make sure everybody's happy. Like that. Yeah, that looks good. That's a pretty picture. Like. Right. And I finally realized, you know what? I don't go out and intentionally try to recruit friends, but I have quite a few. So I said, you know, I'm going to run myself ragged doing this. You know what I'm going to do? When we go to dinner, I'm putting the phone right there. If somebody has an emergency, they can call me. But I'm not getting on Facebook. I'm not getting on everything else. And you know, so understand this. I'm just saying that to say we still need to learn to touch one another. We need to touch one another, amen? Look at somebody and say, I need your touch. Do it right now, say, I need your touch. If you're a husband and wife, you might be able to, you know, but if not your husband and wife, make sure you say it in the right way. Listen, there's a business principle. Hear this. There's a business principle. And that business principle, and for those of, so many of you are business owners, and that principle is this, no investment, no return. No investment, no return. Do you know the reason that I will never get a dividend check from AT&T? Because I have never invested in AT&T. Well, kind of. You know the reason that I'll never get a dividend check from some of the Fortune 500 companies right now? Because I haven't invested in those companies. If you don't make an investment, you'll never get a return. Can I tell you, if you don't invest in the kingdom, if you want a kingdom return, then you've got to make a decision. I'm going to invest myself into the kingdom of God. If I want kingdom blessing, then I've got to invest in the kingdom of God in order to receive that within my life. This is the key of giving and sacrifice. You will never have a return on something in which you do not invest. Investment is always required for a return. Investment, hear this, requires sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. What is sacrifice? You must be willing to do without something temporarily in order to reap a greater reward later. I'll tell you that my mother and my father, they sacrificed a lot of things as I was growing up. We came from we were a lower middle class income family. My dad didn't make a whole lot of money. My mom didn't make a whole lot of money. But we were family. We didn't have a whole lot, but I didn't know it. I thought I was rich, praise the Lord. Because I had a family, praise the Lord. I had a place to lay down. I had a place to sleep. But there were all sorts of new type of appliances that were coming out in the mid-70s. And my mother and my father, they chose, rather than whenever they could go buy a new appliance, they said, no, we want to invest in our children. In my band class, I had the nicest trumpet of all the trumpet players. And one of the reasons that they bought it for me is because they knew if they would invest in me, that there would be a return of that later on. Oh, I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. They knew if they would make an investment into my life, that later on there would be a reward. And by the way, hear this, there is no greater reward in any parent's life than to see their children succeed, to see them grow, to see the blessing of God manifested within their life. Amen? There's no greater reward than that. So they invested in my brother. They invested in us growing up. And as a result of them investing in us, there was a reward that later on came forth within their life. But understand this, if you're not willing to invest, you'll never see the reward. And listen, this can be applied in any area of your life because it is a principle of the kingdom. It is a key of the kingdom. Let's just take this for a moment. I'm trying to come to a close, but y'all hang with me just a moment. Body conditioning. Oh, everybody wants a great body. If I ask for a show of hands right now, how many of you want to have a good body? Nobody would say, I want a lousy body. Come on. How many of you would like to have, some of you may believe you already have one, but anyway, how many of you would like to have a great body? You'd like to look good. Nothing wrong with that, right? But in order to do that, get this, it's going to require some sacrifice. I'm sorry, moon pies are going to have to go out the door. Potato chips have got to leave. There are certain things that you're going to have to rebuke in the name of Jesus. Whenever you go to the grocery store, you have to make sure that you don't go buy those things and bring them home. Because around 10 o'clock, they'll start shouting to you. I'm telling you, I've heard their voices. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, 10 o'clock? I'm hearing something. Oh, I didn't know Cheetos could shout that loud. Man, Chester got really excited for a moment, and I heard him. Right? All kind of things start shouting. See, and if you're going to get really in shape and you're going to get, you know, yes, praise the Lord. My wife said that with such enthusiasm because she knows what it's all about. Praise the Lord. But anyway, just kidding. But anyway, whenever we got married, I was a 28 waist. I had a 6-pack. I had an 8-pack, okay? And all of a sudden, it turned into a 4-liter. But anyway. Now, but listen, you're not going to get a body, man, like Charles Atlas by sitting in your living room watching P90X commercials and eating Cheetos. You go, man. I feel your pain. That's not the way it happens. The only way it's going to happen is you're going to have to put on your gym shorts. You're going to have to leave your house, possibly. And you're going to have to go get you some weights. You're going to have to actually begin to exercise your body and do some things that your body has not done in a long time. And I'll go ahead and tell you, when you first start doing it, you will all of a sudden have a revelation that there are muscles in your body that you never knew existed or had forgotten existed. Right? There's sacrifices involved in it. But if you're going to have this, you've got to be willing to do this. If you're going to have this, you've got to be willing to give up this and begin to do something else. You have to invest somewhere else. Wherever you invest yourself is a place where you will see a return. The reason some musicians are great and some are not is the great ones have greater investment. They're not merely more talented. Somebody comes in, oh, that's Steve. He's really a talented trumpet player. No, he's worked his rear end off. I'm telling you, that's the reason he's good. He's made an investment in it. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm telling you what, there's some of those, that Micah, he can just really play those drums. He's so talented. He's so gifted, yeah, he's talented and gifted, but understand this, that talent and that gift without him making investment would not produce a good sound at all. You have to invest. Understand, until you're willing to invest time, labor, resources, and anything else into the kingdom of God, you will not see the reward of the kingdom. However, if you will invest yourself into the kingdom, you will see the reward of the kingdom. And hear this, the reward of the kingdom is greater than anything that you could ever invest within it. Because God will not be a debtor to anybody, and whatever you give and whatever you sow, he will abundantly return to you in an abundant portion and an abundant measure. Hallelujah. See, David lived with an open hand. 1 Samuel 24:24, you don't have to turn there, you can read it later, but he said this, I will not give to God that which costs me nothing. David had an understanding that giving required an element of releasing something that was dear to him. In other words, I'm willing to make a sacrifice of this. That's where giving begins. Giving something that is worthless to you is a gift of no value. I want everybody to understand how I say this. I don't want a harvest of valueless items. So I'm not going to give something that has no value to me whatsoever. Giving is a key of the kingdom. It opens up heaven's resources. Again, whenever I make exhortations before we receive an offering, it is not an attempt to muscle or manipulate money from any believer here in this church body. It is an admonishment to believe and activate the promise of God. It is an encouragement to insert your key of the kingdom and begin to open up heaven's best within your life. See, David continually exhibited the qualities of being a giver. By the way, there are two different kinds of people in the world. There are givers and takers. And you're either one or the other. There is no middle ground. You're either a giver or taker. Those who live with an open hand will receive the greater blessing. I know that you all know this. Jesus said this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a very simple reason for this, because whenever you give, there's greater blessing that comes within your life. There's more blessing that comes in your life whenever you choose to live your life as a giver. If you choose to live your life just as a hoarder, choose to live your life as a stingy person, choose to live your life in fear, well, I'm afraid, I don't know if I'm going to have enough to, I don't know if I'm going to have enough money to make it, I don't know if I'm going to have enough to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Understand this, you won't have enough. And you'll live your life with that fear all the days of your life. My friend, today's a day to get delivered of fear, get delivered of all of those things that would hold you back and keep you back from taking the key of giving and sacrifice and open up heaven's best. I tell you, Stacy and I, we've done this our entire life. I'm not beating myself on the chest. I'm just letting you know that we have done exactly what the word says. It says this, bring all the tithe into the offering and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Test me in this. I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing that there's not room to receive. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. You will be a delightsome land and all nations will call you blessed. My friend, I've tested him. I've proven him. He is faithful to do everything that he promised that he would do. If you're faithful in this area of giving and sacrifice, my friend, God's blessing will be unlocked within your life in ways you could never, ever unlock them. We believe in the power of praise and worship. We believe in the authority of the believer. Listen, you can command blessing but not choose to be a giver, and your lack of being a giver, living with a closed fist, will actually forfeit that from happening. Forfeit the blessing within your life. It's not worth it. Learn to live your life as a giver with an open hand. I want you to look at somebody and say, I'm living my life as a giver with an open hand. Would you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah. How many of you received something from this today? This is one of the keys of the kingdom. Whenever David was king, what you'll find is that the borders of the kingdom of Israel was at their farthest whenever David was king. We see how that God blessed David in everything he put his hand to. Even within the mistakes that David made, God still blessed him because he had all of these keys working within his life. And how many of you just say today, Pastor, I want to activate all of these keys. I want them functioning within my life today. Come on, lift your hands. I want to use and I want to function in all these keys today. Listen, if you've had a stingy spirit, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm just saying, change, hallelujah. Get delivered. You don't have to live stingy. You don't have to live your life as a hoarder. You can live your life as a giver. There's blessing that God will release in your life if you live your life as a giver today. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord right there. Listen, I know that the majority of this church is tithers, and so for many of you, it's like I'm speaking to the choir. I'm preaching to the choir. But I'm telling you, if you'll learn to adapt these things within your life, it'll make a change, and God will bless you immensely. I want you to pray this with me today. Father God, I submit myself wholly to you today. I thank you for your grace that you released within my life. I declare in the name of Jesus, I will have no part of a stingy spirit. I will live a life I choose today to live a life of giving and sacrifice. I'll not hoard. I'll not be stingy. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And I declare that as I give, as I live my life with an open hand, that blessing will abound within my life. I thank you, Father God, that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Today I'm free. I'm free from stinginess. I'm free from hoarding. I'm free from holding on to that which you've said to give and to release out of my hand. I thank you, Father God, for your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a praise today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.